So the line that comes right near the end of chapter 27 says, let them, the them being anyone or anything in the world, let them be as hateful and as vicious as they may. They can have no effect on me unless I failed to recognize it is my dream. All right? Translating that into straightforward English. All right? The only reason I'm upset by all the hateful, vicious people and things around me, and nature can be vicious, just as people can be vicious. The only reason this affects me is because I am actively choosing right now to make the dream of separation real, because I'm afraid of what it means to my individual identity to accept the atonement for myself. The only reason I'm letting the world around me affect my peace and take my peace and the love of God away from me is because I am actively choosing right now in this very moment to say, I prefer the thought system of separation and individuality to the thought system of atonement that reflects perfect love. I'm actively choosing and saying again, as we all said in that one instant, which was not long ago, it's right now, because there is no time. Right now, I am choosing to make separation my God and atonement the devil. And that's why I'm upset. Not because of what's being done to my body by a microorganism or a disease of some form, or what or letting myself be upset by what somebody said, what my head of state said. Whether the injustice is seen to be a collective injustice that I identify with and get angry about, or a personal injustice. It's all the same. Make this year different by making it all the same. Everything is the same. Because there's nothing out here to come back to that point. You can't escape from that and be a sincere, serious student of this course and practice it. That's why I'm never upset for the reason I think. That's why the past doesn't exist. That's why the past never existed. That's why there is no world. Because how could God's perfect Son leave his perfect heaven? He can't. So anything that follows from that belief must be illusory. And if it's illusory, how could it have an effect on me? The only way it could have an effect on me is if I actively choose to give it that power. You know, there's another reason why I emphasize repeatedly that the ego thought system has no power. It's nothing. How can what never happened and could never have happened have an effect on me? The power we give to the ego thought system, separation, anger, hate, guilt, sin, fear, death, and then the world that arose from it, the power that is there is not inherent in the ego. It is in my mind's belief in the ego. That's where the power lies. The ego has no power. And at the same time, the Holy Spirit has no power. I, the decision-making self, have the power. How could there be power in an atomic or nuclear bomb? How could pain have power? It only has power within the dream. If I choose to remain asleep. So the power is my mind's choice to remain asleep. My mind's choice to dream. That's where the power is. Not in the dream itself. Now that goes directly against what our experience is. Of course, bodies have power. We know how powerful pain is. It's incredibly powerful. In terms of what it does and what it motivates us to do. We all know how powerful things are in this world. Earthquakes have tremendous power. Hurricanes have tremendous power. Bombs have tremendous power. People who torture other people have tremendous power. But it's all within the dream. Let them be as powerful as they may be. They could have no effect on us unless we failed to recognize, unless we actively chose to forget that this is a dream. So again, we're not at that point yet. Our bodies feel pain. Our psychological bodies feel the pain of rejection and abandonment and hurt, etc. But that doesn't make it true. It is true within the dream. It is not true otherwise. So what makes it seem true, what makes it feel so palpably real, so palpably painful or pleasurable, is our mind's belief in it. That's why this course is all about the mind. I quoted the sentence yesterday. This is a course in cause, not effect. Cause is always the mind. Effect is always the body and the world. Everything in this course is dedicated to changing our mind. You know, as most of you know, I always emphasize that the you, the word that appears all the way through this course, is not referring to the you that thinks you are reading it. It's referring to the decision maker. That's the you. When Jesus says, change your mind, he's not talking about a body. He tells us unequivocally, in no uncertain terms, bodies don't decide. Bodies don't feel. Bodies are not born. They don't die. They don't get sick. They don't get well. They don't feel. They don't make choices. Jesus is talking to the decision-making mind. So even while we have the illusion that there is an I that is reading this book, to whom Jesus is talking to me. At some level, we always, that's part of the illusion. The I that is reading this book and benefiting from it is a reflection of my right mind that my decision maker has chosen. But since I believe I'm a body, my mind translates its decision to be right-minded, to identify with the non-specific thought of atonement, and translates that into very specific forms that I can relate to, i.e., there is a book called The Course in Miracles that is now being read by me, a person that has a personality, that has a history, that has a body. And the Course is not saying we should deny what this body is feeling or thinking or experiencing. Just don't believe it. You know, choose to make your reality be whatever you want it to be and enjoy it. Enjoy the pleasure, enjoy the pain. Just don't think it's real. Understand that it's all a projection. You know, as many of you have heard me say, Jesus had said to Helen and Bill early on in the scribing, and they were both, of course, clinical psychologists. He said to them, the one advantage that psychologists have with this course is that they understand projection. How something that appears to be outside is really inside, meaning in the mind. That doesn't mean you have to become a psychologist to understand this course. In fact, most psychologists are very good at understanding projection when it deals with their patients. Right? Not very good at realizing it in themselves. Right? But that's all important to understand this course. It's all about understanding projection, wherein the seeming contents of the mind are seen to be outside. So the seeming contents of the mind that seem to be outside and are seen to be outside are the contents of the belief in separation, sin, guilt, and fear, fear of punishment, death, all of which gets projected out into a world. And we think it's out there. So that's what the line, which is said twice in the course, projection makes perception, is all about. I first look within my mind, I decide which teacher I will choose, and whatever teacher I choose will then lead to a thought system that I put my faith in. When the course talks about faith, that's what it's talking about, where my mind believes. And because I put my faith in it, I believe in it. And when we talk about the ego, what I believe in now is that my guilt is horrendous and will be punished. I have to get rid of it, so I project it out. And now I will perceive the effects of my projection, namely my guilt now seen outside. I will see it outside. Projection makes perception. And because I see it, I will believe it. But I see it because I want to believe it. I want my guilt to be perceived outside of me in somebody else, so it will not be perceived within me. Because if I get in touch with that guilt, I'll get in touch with my fear of God's punishment, which is totally intolerable. So projection makes perception. I project it out, and I perceive it out there because I want to perceive it out there, which is why I put it out there. So understanding that is very helpful, even as we go through our daily life. Just realize what you're doing. Realize what you're doing every time you take a breath. You're saying, God's love is not enough to sustain me. I need oxygen. That's what we're saying. So again, I'm not saying you shouldn't breathe, right? Or you should feel guilty because you breathe. But know what you're doing. That's all. Just look. Look without judgment. So what's really important in terms of fulfilling the goal of the Course is not that you look at your breathing and realize your special relationship with oxygen, although that's kind of helpful to make the point, but really look at your projections onto other people. And you know you're projecting anytime you give anyone or anything power to affect you, which means to take away your peace.